the following were services at night at the Lexington Roxbury Association. Elder Griffin is the speaker.
Best days on ties and binds.
Unskillful in the works in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I don't know what I will say about that text. But that's not anything new. I never know when I read a text what I'm going to say, where I'm going to be carried in my mind. I never know what is going to be the outcome. And above everything else, I don't know what will be the result. I started to say, my beloved heroes, that this is another one of those places that caution is a good word to use, I think. Careful is a good word. And I hope that I have been wrought upon and been moved by the Spirit to do, in some measure at least, what the apostle enjoined upon Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is always violent. It is always violent to hear a man, whether it's our folks or other folks or myself, to take one portion of Scripture and cut it loose from all the context and all of the other Scriptures and just get up and make one statement and quote that one Scripture and say that that's all there is to it. It's just that way. I don't believe that there is any discord between the writer of Hebrews and the other apostles. At one time, it would seem like that there was discord between Paul and Peter, but that was settled to where Peter ended his epistles by saying, "Our beloved brother Paul." And we hear Peter talking about that babes in Christ desire the sincere milk of the word. And yet we've got before us that those that use milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. And I've got to remember, it behooves us to remember, that the apostles were not talking about the same kind of babes in both places. There is a sense in which we never get out of babyhood. When the people brought the children, the little children, to Christ to be blessed, the apostles rebuked those people and the Savior said, "Let them alone." That is, let them alone in bringing these little children, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And it won't do, and I dare not do it, and I don't have a desire to do it, to cast any reflection on my blessed Master's language when he said that. I want to remember that God's children are little children. The old father in Israel that I came up under, and I believe I want to say, labored in the ministry together. He often said things that he wanted our people, his people, he would say, to contend for all of the truth. And I would that we be blessed to do that. At the same time that the children of God never get out of the babyhood class. The Apostle Paul talks a lot about growing in grace and about leaving off childish things and speaking as men speak. Therefore, I think that the text that is before us makes it obligatory upon us that we endeavor with that ability that God is pleased to give to rightly divide the word of truth and to be certain in our interpretation of the scriptures and in our expounding, as we humbly hope to do, the truth as it is in Jesus Christ, that we don't approve of what the Savior said about the kingdom of heaven being composed of little children, and then turn around and throw reflection on it. And at the same time, that when he says that strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, we don't want to throw reflection on what the apostle said in this case and say that all of them are little children and they're not any full age. I hope you get the drift of what I'm trying in my weakness to set before you. I don't think that there is anything in the scriptures as beautiful as the word water. And yet, that it has pleased God to set forth water as being typical of the law dispensation and the law as being a means to salvation. For instance, when the Savior was here, now will you let me take my time? If some of you want to sleep, why, that'll be all right. When the Savior was here and he was at the wedding and the wine gave out, they first had water in the vessels, and they had it changed into wine by the Savior. If the water had been all that was necessary, he wouldn't have changed it to wine. And now, another thing that I'm going to say, and you're not going to agree with. I've found very few people that does agree with me, but it hasn't changed my mind in the least about it. The apostle charges Timothy to take no longer water, but a little wine for the stomach's sake, and thine oft infirmity. And I'm sorry to say that I have known too many of our brethren, if one has done it, it's been one too many, that has drank strong drink just because that Paul told Timothy that. And have used it as being authorized by the apostle to drink strong drink. But they haven't used it well. Because he said, don't use any more water. Take no longer water. And I've not known among our people. And our people have been rather given to drinking too much. I've been in the pulpit with men that had it on their breath. But they hadn't quit drinking water. This injunction from the apostle said, take no longer water. And if language means anything, it means to absolutely quit taking any water. And I say that if God didn't say what he meant and didn't mean what he said, who in the name of God are we going to select among our ranks to tell us what he did mean? And he said by the mouth of the apostle in Timothy to take no longer water, but a little wine for the stomach's sake and thine oft infirmities. In the days of the psalmist David and on down the line, the bowels were often spoken of as the seat of affection. You know I'm telling you the truth. My bowels moved within me. And we know that the old scriptures is full, and it's mentioned in the new. It's full of the bowels being the center of affection. And how I need it. And I'm not going to say you may not need it, because you need it if we're traveling together, if we're traveling heavenward. We need the wine of the new covenant in our affections to stir us and to cause us to love God and to love one another. And we've got many infirmities. And I'm not talking about, nor I don't believe one minute, that Paul was talking about arthritis and indigestion and high blood pressure. I don't believe that he's a dietitian to cure human ailments. I want you to notice what I've said, that water is referred to in the scriptures as being the legal system, the law system. But it's one of the most beautiful things spiritually that's ever been. Now, it won't do for me to say, and I wouldn't enjoy, nor I wouldn't approve of these two elders saying and preaching to us all about water and refer to it solely as belonging to the legal system. Nor would I approve of them preaching that water refers only in the scriptures to spiritual things. That is, the things of God's Spirit, the cleansing power of the Spirit. Now you can see what I mean. What I mean to get before you when I talk about rightly dividing the word of truth. And everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now this babe is not approved. He's unskillful. The babes that Peter was talking about were approved. Then the apostle turns and he talks about strong meat and who it belongs to. Strong meat, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Now one that is of full age has arrived at that place that the apostle was in when he said, I put away childish things. I speak no more as a child, but I speak as a man. I hope you see the contrast between his writing that I put away childish things. I've got grown. I've grown into a full stature of a man in Christ. My growth has not been attributed to me, but it's been attributed to the life
that I have been born into or come into possession of by birth or by conception and birth. And that which was in that life has grown. It's not been me growing in nature, but it's been me growing as a man in Christ Jesus. And strong meat belongs to one that is of full age. That's what strong meat belongs to. That's the kind of a character that it belongs to. And all of the children of God, in the sense in which I am presenting and the sense in which the apostle is talking about, everyone is born into the kingdom to grow. They are born in it to grow, and they do grow. They do grow. And they attain full age. And in the outset, they don't know much about strong meat. I feel like that I might say, without fear of anybody contradicting me successfully, that if we are what we hope we are, that we have been born into the kingdom of heaven, that following our birth, following our babyhood, following from that birth into that unskillful age of milk drinkers, that we couldn't have told what the old Baptists believed to save our life. If somebody had asked us to explain what the old Baptists believed, we couldn't have told them. We didn't know. We knew that Jesus was precious to us. We knew that we loved his people. But if the brethren had been engaged in talking about the deep subjects of the kingdom of heaven, the deep subjects in the Bible, the interpretation of the deep things, we wouldn't have known what they were talking about, nor we couldn't have joined in conversation with them. But God has given us life, and that life has grown. And strong meat, this is not something that this child decides. It's not something that he decides, but it's something that's in him, and it develops. That desire and that need develops as that reproduction, that life as it comes up and develops in us. And where we first, as we came into the body, we delighted in more experience, and we delighted in the simplicity of the things that we learned of Christ. But the first thing we knew, not by going into them, not by developing by our own will what we had, but by the growth, which was an involuntary growth, by that growth, the first thing we knew, we were eating and drinking and thoroughly enjoying strong meat. We couldn't have told where that unskillful age quit, and where that need and that desire for strong meat again. There just come a change, and that change come about by growth. And that growth was begin in us as the work of God. And he that planted the seed caused the seed to grow and to sprout and to germinate, and it grew. And we got to the place, sometimes suddenly, sometimes by degrees, we got to the place where we thoroughly enjoyed strong meat. strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those whose by reason, who by reason of use, who by reason of use, the strong meat belongs to these men of full age by reason of use. By reason of our using it, I didn't say that. Nor the apostle didn't say that. But please, for God's sakes, don't take from what the apostle said that we attain unto this by use. Please don't deny that. Please don't deny that. We attain unto that, and it belongs to us even by, it belongs to those who by reason of use. You notice that I'm stopping in the middle of the sentence, but I'm not doing it haphazardly. I'm not doing it haphazardly. I'm not doing it to confuse. But I'm doing it, I humbly hope, as I heard Elder Rustin say one time. He said, I long to see you, talking to some brethren that he was visiting. I long to see you. I've been longing to see you. This is a lot for me to say. It wasn't anything out of the way for him to say, and yet I feel in my heart that I could discern in his demeanor before the brethren that there was a reluctance in him in saying that. He said, I've been longing to see you. And then he continued with the language of the Apostle Paul, that I might impart to you some spiritual gift. I believe every minister desires to teach. I heard an elder say less than 12 months ago that there wasn't any such thing as ministers teaching. I heard him say it. And he stomped the floor. And he waved his arms. And he had a lot of bodily exercise in saying it. But there's one thing he forgot, or he never did know, was that a qualification of a servant of God is that he be apt to teach. And I just don't believe that God would bless one of his servants with an aptness to teach when teaching didn't belong between the ministry and the church. That's why that I've stopped just like I have. That strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those whose by reason of use. By reason of use. I have desired my brethren and sisters that God would bless me to where that I wouldn't have to apologize for using a certain text. I've desired that. There have been over the years texts that sometime I would give anything in the world to come before the brethren and to expound in my little way. I've been afraid to. I've been more afraid of my brethren than I have of God that I hope called me. 2 or 3 months ago, I spoke as best I could at Wells Track upon the text, take heed to thyself and to the doctrine, and continue in them. For in so doing thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. If I've ever preached the gospel in my life, I preached it that day. And yet I've been afraid to use it. And I've been afraid along the way to use some text and to even tell what I felt like and to expound the forcefulness of what the writers were saying just because that I've been afraid that somebody would say, well, he's soft or he's off the beam or off the rocker or he's denying what he used to preach. I'm before you tonight, and if God wills to tell you that strong meat belongs to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. It belongs to them who by reason of use have their senses exercised. I've read from every people in the world and heard the most of them preach. And the last one of them tells the sinner they ought to exercise faith. And that cemetery that we visited up there this afternoon is as silent in regard to the sinner exercising faith as this Bible is in saying it. There is as much said in this Bible about, and there's fairly little difference in this than any other. This Bible is as silent about the sinner exercising faith in order to have faith as those people that's laying up there that's been dead some of them over 100 years, as silent as they are about getting up and telling folks to do things. But that don't mean that there's not any exercise among God's people. They are exercised. It's not that they're exercising the Spirit. It isn't that. But they are exercising because there's a power. The power of God. The power of God that is within them, that is exercising them in the things of God. If I preach the gospel, sometimes I'm doubtful about that, and other times I'm not. But one of my dear brethren that went before me a long time ago, in talking about the gospel, he said, "I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of it. For it," that is the gospel, "that I'm not ashamed of, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." From faith to faith. Every minister has got people that enjoy hearing him preach. Every minister that God has called has got people that follow him around. And what a wonderful thing it is when he comes before them. And sometimes they go to a meeting. And when they get there, they see this minister. And their soul is thrilled. And when he preaches the gospel of the Son of God, it does something. And it's from faith to faith. It is from faith to faith. And the man that's preaching is not handling faith. Nor the person that's listening is not handling faith. But the speaker and the hearer are being handled by faith. There's a world of difference, and it's the differences between the truth and falsehood. And strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. Use. The use of this. Who by reason of use have their senses exercised. I wouldn't want to enter into frivolous things, nor God forbid that I enter into levity, but we sometimes tell a member of the house, "Take the dog for a walk. Exercise the dog. Well, if we didn't exercise the dog wouldn't be exercised, would he? Would he? Well, I'm asking you, would he? But if we unleash the dog and take him down the street or out in the country, we have exercised the dog. Haven't we? Well, these that are of full age, there's something that belongs to them. They've got a right to it. It is theirs by right, and that right comes by use, by reason of use. And they have had their senses exercised. And only God's Spirit exercises our senses. Let me finish it. Have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What does he mean by our senses? Was that put in there to fill up this book? Did that mean anything to the child of God? That not, it isn't that he has his sense exercised. It isn't that. It isn't a fact that he's not got much sense, and that in order to have more sense, that sense is exercised. It isn't that at all. But he has his senses exercised. And every child of God has got these senses, not sense now, but he's got these senses. What are the senses? If you will read that book from long about over there where it says in the beginning, God done this and that and the other, and between there and where he said amen in Revelation, you'll find that there are five senses in the life of Christ. Five senses, and every one of them are exercised by he that called us out of nature's darkness and called us into his kingdom. And he exercises those senses in us that we might enjoy the things of his kingdom. Taste. And smell, and sight, and hearing. And smell. Every Christian has those five senses. They are characteristics of the work of the Spirit in our lives that causes us to grow. It's the exercise that causes us to grow. No exercise, no growth. The exercise causes the growth. No human parent would bring a child into the world and leave that child in its helpless way as a babe and expect it to develop into maturity, to full age. Now, if they do that, I want to know it. I'm too far down the road of life. I'm too near the conclusion of my earthly pilgrimage to be wrong myself, much less to lead you wrong. And if it is a common practice for parents to leave their children to themselves as a little babe, as it's delivered from its mother's womb, if that's the common practice, I want to know about it. And if it isn't, don't expect me to preach that it is. And God deliver me from believing that it is. But the parents, earthly I'm talking about, natural, they begin to teach that child and to exercise it in the kingdom that it's come into. That's the prevailing custom among all people. They might be atheists, they might be infidels, they might be anything, they might be any nationality under heaven. But that's the way they all do. They begin to exercise that little tyke in the things and of the kingdom that he's born into. You know I'm telling you the truth. God's children are born into another kingdom, and they're born into it babes. And God, the Holy Spirit, begins to exercise them, to get them up on their feet, to develop them, to exercise them so that they'll grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful kingdom, and how much difference, what a vast difference here and there is between the two kingdoms. One of them's of the earth, and the other is from above. The earthly kingdom, it's obligatory upon the parents to see that their child is exercised, to see that it gets that development that is necessary for it to come to full age. God has not delegated any strength, nor any power, nor placed upon them any obligation in his kingdom for them to cross over and to take up the work of the Holy Spirit in developing and exercising the children of God. You know, one of the first senses that we know much about in coming into this new kingdom and being born again is the sense of taste. The sense of taste. Taste and see that the Lord is gracious. You had ever tasted of the loving kindness and the tender mercy of God. Had it not been for wisdom, our mother, wisdom, our teacher, bringing us and teaching us and handling us so carefully and so tenderly that we might taste and see that the Lord is gracious. Taste of the bread that comes down from heaven. Taste of the living water that flows out from the throne of God. Taste of the words that Jesus speaks. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is when God exercises us, takes us up as choice vessels for mercy, and exercises us in tasting. Oh, what a wonderful kingdom, and what the divine riches that he's placed in that kingdom for his children. And he, being wisdom itself, he knows all about them. And he knows leading them to their own sense. He knows that without his kind and effectual teaching, without his kind exercising of them, that they'll never get to know the fullness of God's dear children and the taste of the heavenly things. And I want to ask you something. Have you ever known of a parent to marry and to bring a child into the world? And when it is delivered from its mother's womb, have you ever known of one of them that just laid the type there and went on about their daily affairs and just left it there? And just left it there. And just left it there. If you've ever known of a case like that, you tell me about it. But don't tell me tonight, because I've not got time to listen to it. But isn't it true? If it isn't true, say so. Isn't it true that that man and wife, that mother and father, that they begin immediately? They begin immediately to teach that child. A mother begins immediately. It don't even know where her breast is at. I speak plainly. It don't know how to get the life-giving nourishment that's there. But she teaches it. Oh, my brethren, my sisters, and my kind friends, what a lovely thing it is to be exercised, to taste how sweet heaven is, and how nourishing the bread of life is. How wonderful it is to taste the precious serotonin blood of the kingdom of heaven. How wonderful it is to taste, to be exercised. Oh no, you don't get it voluntarily. but you're exercised in this by he that brought you into being. You're exercised in such way that you taste of the banquet that's set before you when the gospel's preached. And how sweet the taste is. Oh, yes, the taste. And you're taught to hear. That's one of the senses that God exercises his people in. They're taught to hear. They're taught to hear. They're taught to know the difference in the mother's sound. They're taught to know the joyful sound of God's gospel as it's preached. They are taught to hear and to obey the commandments of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, what exercising this is, and what teaching this is, and what a wonder this is, and how amazing this is. That God is not leading us to our own resources. He's not leading us to fend for ourselves. He's not leaving us to acquire the difference and knowing the difference between good and evil. No, no, you'd never know it if it wasn't for this exercise. If there wasn't any exercise, it would all be evil. That's all it'd be. If you had no exercise in the things of God's grace, you'd never know the difference. They'd both look alike to you. But this exercise gives you to know and to hear and to obey and to follow after and to love the things that you hear in the kingdom of heaven. And he opens your eyes. You know, my wife's had a lot of trouble with her eyes. And she asked the doctor. She said, must I use my eyes? Oh, he said, certainly so. Exercise them. Exercise is good for them. But if she didn't have any eyes, she couldn't exercise them. If her eyes were blinded, she couldn't exercise them. And God gave his people eyes. He opened their blinded eyes and gave them sight. And through his Holy Spirit, he brings them to see. It's his exercising of them. It's his stirring them. Stirring them. Moving them. Impressing them to go to this place and that place. Impressing a man over there to meet them there. Exercising all of his children at both ends of the line, like he exercised Peter to go and exercised Cornelius to receive him when he did get there. And if he hadn't have given them sight and exercised them to seek and to look, they wouldn't have done it. But God worked at both ends of the line. And our smell. What a fragrant smell. What a fragrant smell there is in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. To smell the glorious perfume that she's bedecked in. And if God hadn't have exercised, he hadn't have given you life, that exercise, the sense of smell, you would have never known a thing in the world about the glorious smell of the lily of the valley. But you would have continually been smelling the things of the stagnated, fetish water of the wilderness. God exercised you. He gave you a smell of heavenly things and exercised it. And when you smell Zion in as a beautiful rose, as the lily of the valley, what a glorious odor and fragrance that it was. And as you were exercised in this sight and this hearing and this seeing and so on, the five senses. One other now, and then I'm through. One other sense in which he exercises us in. love him. And we love him. I think Brother Wood quoted that today. We love him because of his exercise toward us first. Don't we? John said we did. That we love him because of his exercise toward us. And when he exercises his love, when he bestows his love upon us, what manner of love is bestowed upon us? When he bestows or exercises or places, or any other word you want to use, as long as it shows that God's doing the work. When he does that, that begets in us. It moves us to movement. You could no more sit still than you could build a world when this is bestowed upon you. It calls for a response and it gets it. And it exercises you into feeling, into touch, into feeling. Sight, and hearing, and taste, and smell, and feeling. Feel. Oh, what it is to feel the love of God. Sinner, my brother and my sister, have you been exercised by the Holy Spirit to where you feel like that you're on a journey home? Have you been exercised, dear brethren and sisters, in this sense of feeling to where you feel like that this world is not my home? Have you been exercised in your mind, in your full senses, all five of them, to finally feel like that if I'm saved, it's by the grace of God alone? If these things have come your way, if they have come your way, if you've been exercised before you see things that you didn't used to see, if you've been exercised the way you hear things that you used to hear, if you've been exercised the way you smell a sweet-smelling savor of the love of God and the fragrance of the church, if you've been exercised that even though you've tasted all of the foul things of the earth, God has still been merciful to you and brought you to taste of how gracious he is, if he has brought you and has exercised you to where you feel in your heart that I'm a sinner saved by grace, I want to tell you right now, you've grown out of babyhood. And you've grown into a man, full man of age in Christ, grown in Christ. I heard Elder Spangler preach one time. I don't know where the text is, but he said, quoting the Apostle Paul, that I warn every man that I might present every man perfect in Jesus Christ. And I have endeavored in this while in speaking to you to present you full grown men and women saved by grace, with all of your senses active in the kingdom of heaven, and you are living on the mountaintop and in the heights of the mountain of Beulah land, and God is exercising by his Holy Spirit, exercising you and using that God has given you in the Spirit, your senses, that he's exercised them, the senses that he's given you, and that you've drawn away from the stagnated pools of the earth, that you've drawn away and got away from warmed over bread and warmed over gospel. You can't be satisfied with that taste anymore. And he's moved you on in all of these senses and exercised them in you. You've just been the recipient. You've just received from him his exercising of you in the kingdom of heaven. And your growth and your enjoyment of these things that belong to one of full age has come to you because your heavenly parents, God our Father and Wisdom our Mother, has exercised us to smell and to see and to hear and to taste and to feel how good God is.